This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on Red-Hot-Mama.com. I'm your host, Amanda. With me, as always, is the crack technical staff, John. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Hey, how are you doing?
Pretty good. You know, I think forgot to mention that it's July 2nd and episode number 65.
65. It seems like they've been really flying up the last few days.
It's funny how that works when you record multiple ones on the same day. So, we had like three podcasts last week, and I was really, I don't know if there's anything to talk about today.
I don't know.
Has anything happened in Rhodesland?
We were like in the hospital all day, so
that's true.
It's an off day, so at least we were there when nothing happened.
Yeah. Actually, we were in the hospital all day today after posting the news about Jerry and Aaron being fired last night. I had conked out because I was exhausted, tired, and I was really hoping to have find some time, during the workday today to sneak in some posts and look up some stuff and publish, some of my opinions on the matter and what I thought might happen after that. But then we wake up and our son is kind of rolling around on the floor. He's got back pain and he has a fever. And, back pain and a fever together, potentially serious, as it turns out.
Yes, it is.
So we got, had to take him into the urgent care and eventually into the emergency room where they just ran all manner of tests on him. I mean, we were in one hospital or another for... I'm thinking.
I don't know what
eight
time
hours,
you got there,
six
but
hours,
we didn't leave
like
till after 7.
Oh, well, then it was longer than that. It was more like 9 hours. Yeah, poor kid. And man, what a great kid he was. I'm very, very proud of how well behaved he was. He was real tough. He got the blood tests. And
he handled that fine. He's like, when the needle goes in, he's like, ouch. But then he just like settled down. He's like, when's it gonna be over?
Yeah.
But
he's
then,
very stoic like that, though.
They messed up and weren't able to get the IV in that same arm.
Yeah.
It failed. And then when they moved to the other arm, that one, he couldn't hold it.
Well, they may have, it may have hurt more, but it's also possible that it was just building, and he could only, take so much, and then it was
he cried a little bit and kicked a little bit.
No, he's 6 years old. To think that he hadn't even cried for the first one, I think is pretty impressive. I admire that boy a little bit. I like him just a little. But in any event, it kind of exhausted us and sucked up our day without giving us any time where we could, contribute anything. So rather than try to type up a zillion posts tonight on the matter, it seems like a good time to do a podcast.
He does seem to be doing okay.
And he does seem to be doing okay.
So
the fever's down.
Too.
The backache is gone. The tummy only hurts a little bit now. And he does not appear to have appendicitis, which is a... the biggest concern
big worry.
We have. But we are supposed to keep an eye on him, and if the abdominal pain gets worse again, we're supposed to take him back in. Which, he is just asking to happen on the 4th of July, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Like something always comes up on those holidays. If it's not, it's like...
We've got fun planned, and of course, boom.
Well, it's like whenever someone gets sick on a Monday, it's not going to be something serious, but when a kid gets sick on a Monday, it's like, well, it's not going to be serious because there's plenty of time to get him into the doctor.
Wait till Friday, and then it's a whole different
story. Oh, crap. Especially
enough of that.
How about them Reds?
We just finished our big weekend trip to Cincinnati.
That's right. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. Exhausting.
The Hofbrau House...
Was packed.
I liked it, I think, a little bit more than you did.
Well, I was really... The thing was that we went across the wrong bridge out of the ballpark and ended
up
walking...
I have terrible direction sense sometimes.
Well, it's not just you. The thing was that we had planned to go back to the hotel to get our directions and then just decided to leave from the ballpark.
Yeah, I was thinking that we would drive. And then I'm like, wait a second. I don't want
to
drive back. It is a beer place.
Yeah.
Like that's not a good idea. We'll just catch a cab back. But I... didn't have directions on me. I didn't.
So we ended up driving around. So we ended up walking the entire way, walking through Covington. We went the wrong way. We had to go around. It was a few miles of walking, and it's not as if I was wearing appropriate footwear for this.
Right.
And so, I've still got, cuts and wounds and blisters and stuff from this long walk. And the point being that I needed a place to sit down, and there wasn't any place to sit down.
It was very crowded.
And they give us these enormous steins of beer, and there's no place to sit them, so I'm having to hold it.
That's
making it warmer. And I didn't like the beer that well anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I liked mine all right.
Yeah. It's all very hoppy, and I'm not much of a fan of the hops. I'm working on it,
though. You
might get
there. Yeah. It can be acquired, if you want to. It doesn't really
matter. I've been trying, because it'll really open up my my appreciation of beer. But then, on the other hand, beer's very fattening. Beer's very fattening, but then it also apparently doesn't seem to give me any kind of a hangover. I drank ridiculous amounts of beer and woke up feeling just fine the next morning.
And the company there was great. The company was great. And, of course,
the Scratchers were there. And
the bestest scoreboard operator in the world!
Shout out to you, Super Dave. Woo! Yeah, we got to get the behind-the-scenes tour and everything. Man, that is a badass. We were talking about that the rest of the weekend. It would just, conversation would lull, and then I'd be like, man, that really was awesome. That tour was the best.
And then there was the game the next day.
Yeah.
Homer Bailey, the phenomenon,
Mm-hmm.
I think he needs to go back to AAA.
I'm not entirely sure he ever should have come up, but, the thing was, he was fine,
I think it's not a bad idea to give a kid like that a taste.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he came up and, he faced Major League with, air mm-hmm. quotes, hitters in spring training. But it was always early spring training.
Yeah.
When he's facing the other scrubs.
Well, and they're always talking about the things people hold back when they're at spring training. And,
here he gets to face the Cardinals, who are solid. I mean, he got to face some good hitters mm-hmm. with Pujols. And then he's faced some other teams, too, that have had some really good lineups. And he gets to see that, hey, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, yesterday he didn't seem to be able to locate anything.
Yeah,
he was like going one,
so
ball
tired,
one, ball two,
but yeah.
constantly.
Yeah, he was a lot of first pitch balls.
Had nothing. He couldn't, his changeup was most of the time when I saw it was 5 miles less than his fastball.
A lot of it's gonna get done
and never a strike.
That's not going to give you very much of shock factor.
No, it was
changing speeds is supposed to be really changing speeds.
It wasn't pretty.
No, it really wasn't, and it was the thing that. What it is for me is that I've never really seen a really good pitcher anyway, so I probably don't have a true appreciation for it, but he's so highly touted, and he's such a big name, and people are so excited about him, and he comes up, and he's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine, but he's not awesome. So I don't know what's the right thing here to do to make him awesome, because the way people talk about him, it sounds like he could be awesome.
Yeah.
But perhaps he needs further development in the minors, or maybe he needs further development
in the
majors. I don't know.
That's worked before for pitchers.
It's worked before for pitchers, but has it worked before for Reds pitchers? Because I'm not having a whole ton of faith in the pitching coaching.
There you go.
In the pitching coaching in Cincinnati, and I might have a little bit more faith in Louisville. I'm not sure about that either. But Louisville's consistently quite good. Louisville, is always at the top of the division. And
well, it's usually the Indians at the top, but. Louisville's always close.
They're always up there. I think that they've beat out the Indians before, recently. I don't know, though. You know what? I don't know, though. It's not... I don't keep up on the minor leagues all that well. Just go to games on 4th of July and stuff.
But it will be interesting, I think, to continue to see how they deal with Bailey mm-hmm. if he doesn't have a good outing again.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It seems like something will have to be done. You can't just ignore it.
Maybe you can for half a season, but...
Well, perhaps. So, is that a good segue? Do we need to get any other topics out of the way before we get there? So, Naren's gone, huh?
Yeah.
I really
don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, sort of oddly nonplussed, which does not mean unenthusiastic, by the way. Have we talked about that before?
We have.
Okay. I feel oddly nonplussed. It's like,
It's like...
What do you know?
It's like... I can't decide.
I think that...
It feels too late.
Certainly people have made an argument that why now? Why bother at this point? Why pay out his contract and pay someone else to do the job? But, I can't get on board with that because it's about momentum. It's about demonstrating to the fans what your intentions are. certainly if the ownership had continued to do nothing the entire season, we could have sat there and thought, well, they figure it's too late to do anything now, so why bother? And we would have to infer that, because they can't come out and say it. How would that look if they were to come out and say,
that'd be like, awesome.
Oh, yeah, by the way, yeah. We know. But don't think we haven't noticed. We know that Naren can't manage a bullpen or a bench or construct a lineup or decide when to take people out of the game or when to put
them
in.
He's done after the end of the year. Don't worry about it. We're just saving money.
But we don't want to spend any money, so we're just going to hold on to that until next year, and we'll take care of it in the off season. Even though it would be a rational thing to do from a business standpoint, you know, as far as the what, presenting yourself to the fans and demonstrating your commitment.
Yeah,
to
I don't
team.
Think
you
that
have
would
to do something.
That also wouldn't attract managerial candidates.
No,
that's pretty harsh way to treat an employee, really.
Well, from what I understand, the way that they let him go, and I didn't hear the press conference because I was in the hospital.
Hospital, yes.
But from what I understand, they were kind of bending over backwards to kiss his ass on the way out.
It's weird.
What the heck? Well, I mean, I'm sure everyone says he's a nice guy. I really have no knowledge of him being a nice guy, personally. So I wouldn't know that for a fact, but I'm sure he's a decent human being. I don't think he's slaughtering puppies or anything.
He's no
like
Bengal,
that.
That's for sure.
He doesn't have any firearms charges against him, and he certainly isn't getting arrested for DUI in Florida two blocks away from his...
shooting a gun outside of a strip club.
I was going for the LaRussa angle. You're going keeping with the Bengals?
No, I was going for Pacers. That's the local thing in our
Pacers.
Backyard.
That's, no one's going to be able to make that jump. What kind of Cincinnati fans are going to know what you're talking about with the Pacers?
I don't care. There's no basketball in Cincinnati.
I suppose that's true. And a good thing, or else we'd have fights, I'm sure, between Cincinnati and Indianapolis. Anyway, what was I getting at? I'm saying I'm sure he's a plenty good guy, but I don't really see the need to make such a big deal about it. On the way out, he did a rotten job. I mean, you don't hire a person because they're a good person. You hire him to do a job, and he did a rotten job. I saw the quote from, I think JNAZ, talking about how he wasn't as bad as people think. He wasn't as bad a man. And you made that point, too.
His hiring felt like a, you know, slight incremental step improvement over Miley, who felt like a slight incremental improvement over Bob Boone.
Mm-hmm.
So they've kind of gotten slightly better. Maybe better in some areas.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was pointing out this weekend when we were talking about it was that at the end of Miley's tenure, things were very painful. Things felt very painful for the team. You know,
players were very unhappy because they were never talked to. Yeah.
There was a lot of disgruntledness. There's a lot of like player meetings. But the thing was, on the flip side, they also seemed to care that they weren't winning. And so, you know, people were stepping up. They were trying to inspire each other. It was all failing. Don't get me wrong. It's not like it worked. But it seemed like there was a whole different vibe about it. Whereas with Naren, no one seemed unhappy. Everyone seemed relatively well communicated with, though I think that the wrong message was being communicated a whole lot of the time. But on the other hand, did anyone even seem to care that they were losing? It didn't seem like they just kind of went out there and did their thing and lost and...
Yeah, well,
you know, and they gave their like requisite clips about how they just didn't get it done or how they have to turn things around or whatever, but you didn't get the feeling that anyone really cared.
Well, Brandon Phillips had something.
What did Brandon
to
Phillips
say?
Have to say?
Similar to that. Jerry did the best he could do. We had a lot of veterans. If he had different guys in there, we'd have different results. We didn't make any trades, we didn't fire anybody, but got him fired. It sucks. I look at Jerry. We had a good year with Jerry last year, but we had new guys come to the scene this year. He tried to adjust with the new guys this year, but it's all about certain players. Ken Griffey and his home run chase, Josh Hamilton and his comeback season. Everybody got caught up in that instead of winning. We're happy for Josh, but we want to win. And the next thing you know, Homer Bailey's up here. We're a team, and everybody's worried about three guys.
That's definitely true, and those are definitely three stories that have dominated the press coverage and the press that the team has gotten, and not just in Cincinnati, it's been all over the place.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know that I would give... A couple of those things are misappropriated on Brandon's part. Those issues, those three stories, I don't know that I could give credit to that to Naren.
Mm-hmm.
That may well have been an ownership kind of decision, because... as you're trying to market a team, it's those stories that you're going to market.
Right.
And whether they told him to put emphasis on them or whether they just kind of, it just kind of happened that way, I don't know. But so there's that. Talking about not making any trades or something, I mean, that's hardly an Aaron's fault.
Right.
Unless, on the other hand, he did seem to have Krivsky's ear like crazy, so you have to wonder.
He seemed happy to have Juan Castro.
He sure did. He sure gave him plenty of time to play. To mention
the Cincinnati Post beat writer, C. Trent Rosecrans, had a comment about Phillips's quote. And Rosecrans said that Phillips said too much of the focus was on Griffey, Hamilton, and Homer, not the team. Considering the source, the way to read that was too much of the focus isn't on me, me, me.
Wow, that's a little bit bitchy. What's your problem, C. Trent?
Like, I don't know. I thought Phillips had some valid points
really. Yeah, they had some pretty valid points, too.
That's rather dismissive.
Really. Well, the thing is, maybe some of the emphasis should have been on him. I mean, he's done a really good job. And to put the emphasis on people because of their personal stories instead of because of their play, I think, is a valid point. And to think that, like, baseball players shouldn't have an ego or something? Hello, how are you even going to get this far into the sport without having an ego? Brandon Phillips is a really freaking good player.
He has been this year.
Yeah.
Didn't make the All-Star team because the team sucks, so maybe there's some frustration coming through in that.
Well,
but
sure.
That's kind of valid. I mean, you look at how Phillips and Griffey, done to a certain extent, Harang, Weathers, have all done.
Yeah, that's true.
That's at least the first half All-Star-worthy performances, but the team prevents them from making it.
It's true. But then again, you know, this isn't an individual sport. They're supposed to be playing as a team.
That's true.
And, you know, maybe if there was a little bit less emphasis on the individual performances. Wow, what a bitchy thing to say. See, Trent, I'm calling you out. he made specific reference to the team needing to win and talking about the team, and then to go and interpret it as, yeah, well, they're paying attention to them and not paying attention to me.
Phillips is on the cover of the scorecard I bought for Belly Scratchers yesterday. Yeah. So,
my gosh, was that yesterday?
Yeah, it's been a long day.
It's been a really freaking long day.
So where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here? What are the... we talked about in a previous episode whether it was worthwhile to change managers because whether they could make it into the postseason if they really turned it around. And you had said something to the effect of nobody has ever done it this late.
That's right. And I was corrected by one of the Astrocast podcasters.
The Astrocast.
Said that Phil Garner had been... took over the Astros, and what was it like?
After this All-Star break, or at the All-Star break?
At or after, and
then managed to take it into the postseason, but I don't know how bad their record would have been at
that
point.
Were they,
because,
like, 20 games under?
Because
that's where the Reds are.
Teams are bad, but then the Reds are kind of historically bad. I mean, they're on their way to 100 losses, no kidding. I mean, they're ahead of pace for 100 losses. They're right on pace. So... with the Cincinnati record sitting here at 31-51, which makes them 82 games in, what would they have to do, let's say, for a 500 season?
For 500?
Sure.
Well, that's easy enough to figure, sitting at 31-51.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe have to go 50-30 over the remaining 80 games of the season.
50
that's
and
just
30.
Winning, you know, 62.5% of your...
Well,
games.
It would just be the opposite of what they've done so far.
Exactly.
Has anyone to this point won 50-30? 100 win season.
So.
I mean, that would put you on pace for 100 win season. That would be really impressive. Well,
Wait. The Brewers are the best in the National League at 58%.
Okay.
Los Angeles. Wait, no. California Angels. I have won 62% of their games.
There you go. So all they got to do is swap seasons with the Angels.
There you go.
And the Angels are only leading their division by 4 games.
Wow.
So Seattle's not doing bad either.
And Seattle's weird. This is a side note. But, like, their manager just resigned.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mike Hargrove.
Think he's in the mix for the Reds job?
I have no idea. It's, like, kind of a mystery. Like, well, wait, why? Because they were in the middle of an 8-game winning streak, and... they're in second, 4 games out. They're right there in the wild card race. It's like,
weird. I wonder. Well, must have had irreconcilable differences.
I guess.
I'm starting to feel like I have irreconcilable differences with my employer, but we'll see how that works out. Anyway.
They're the Boston has won 61% of their games, as has Cleveland. So
yeah, so it can be done. What about? But what, would 500 be enough? I mean, can
to do anything?
Yeah,
I don't know. Probably not.
Last season it was, but we didn't have Milwaukee all gangbusters like they are this year. 48-34, pretty good.
Yeah, it sure is.
Pretty good. So I don't even know. So potentially. It could take significantly more than that.
Yeah, they're on pace currently to win 95 games.
Yeah.
So.
That's a lot of freaking
news. Yeah, for the Reds to match that.
Well, consider this, that.
For the Reds to match that, they have to win 80% of their games.
I'm not even sure I want the Reds to do that, because if they were to do a thing like that, what choice would they have but to remove the interim tag on a...
Pete McCann.
McCann's title. And then we are just
But
freaking,
if he is that good.
Well, if he is that good, I will give him a year. I hope that they wouldn't sign him to more than a year. I would hope that they have learned their freaking lesson by now. Give a guy a chance to prove himself before you reward him with an extension.
No kidding.
You know, that was a...
Although it sure would be nice to have some consistency. You know, the same manager for more than a year and a half.
They could do that if they would actually do a search for a real manager instead of just bringing up whatever guy is next in line.
I think that's a nice thing that they didn't go with the bench coach.
Bucky Dent. Yeah, me too. And I've seen that in several places in people's comments on it. Like, who... I can't believe they didn't bring up Bucky Dent or...
I saw Billy Hatcher's name mentioned too.
Oh, yeah.
The first base coach. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, just any of those guys, really.
But I think they'd all be kind of the same. It's like...
Now, did you see the story now? They had the one guy who was interviewing for the job, but he wanted to be able to fire all the coaches and bring in his own people.
Kriske denied that. That was Joe Girardi. Mm-hmm. The rumors said that he'd already interviewed for the Reds position and turned it down because he wasn't going to be given authority to bring in his own coaches immediately.
Interesting.
But Kriske denied it, so... There you go. That's whatever that's worth.
I wonder. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I wouldn't trust Kriske any further than I could throw him. But
I don't think you could throw him very far.
Exactly.
So. Oh, I get it.
There's my point, sir. So I don't know about that, but I don't know why what would be the benefit of bringing on. I guess you would just have to really want a manager to allow them to just fire everyone and bring on new people, because they don't have a beef with a lot of these people yet. However, I might point out that they fired Chris Chambliss for poor hitting at the end of last season. And then shouldn't it sort of been like Dick Pohl that got the axe this time around? Because, you know,
well, he's not the bullpen coach.
I suppose not.
Starting pitching has been better than we've seen in recent years.
You've got a good point there. Who's the bullpen coach?
Tom Hume. He has been for quite some time.
Yeah, maybe it's time to do something about that.
They'll wait. I doubt they'd fire anyone. Yeah. What I hope is that they do a legitimate, for real search.
Well,
I think there are going to be a lot of managers available.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's been a lot of talk about Tony La Russa not being renewed with the Cardinals.
Right. That would be interesting.
It really looks like this might be Torrey's last year with the Yankees. He actually has some Ohio ties. I think some of his family lives, if not in Cincinnati, at least in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be interesting. It'd be someone with... Well, it's been a few years, but he has won before.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of other candidates available in the offseason than right now.
Sure. Well, it does look like that's more likely, I think, this time around, because bringing in your, you know, advanced scout to be your manager, it's going to be
someone with no managerial experience.
It would be
before.
so easy at the end of their tenure to say, thank you for filling in. You've done a great job. Now we go back to doing your old job.
Yeah, exactly.
And because it's not so much like a demotion, because it wasn't exactly a promotion to begin with. It was sort of a weird sideways change. Certainly, you know, more visible, but really not a direct, certainly not in the direct line of command. So hopefully that means they're setting up to be able to, without actually having to fire him, able to do the real manager search. And really get something good done there. And, you know.
And if we see more wins than losses for the rest of the season, that'd be nice.
That would be nice. I would, yeah, really, just 500 for the second half would be nice.
Which is what Naren managed to do in his interim time.
That's right, and that was so freaking impressive to them that they decided they had to freaking extend his freaking contract.
I don't think 500 is that impressive.
No, it's not.
I've seen below 500 a lot, so.
Well, lately.
But
we've seen plenty of it lately. What else have we got? It seems like surely there's more to say on the whole situation with Naren.
I'm sure there's a lot, but.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that the team taking some action, and I hope that it works out well for them. And I
do wonder how sturdy the ground is under Wayne Gretzky's feet now, though.
Sure. Now, they extended him, when they did the whole stupid extension of
Naren, they did an even stupider
extension of Gretzky, right? They extended him even further out.
I don't know if it was further or not, but yeah.
What the hell is up with Wayne Gretzky right now, man? He hasn't done anything. There's, like, nothing going on. We heard all these rumors about a Dunn trade, but I don't know how much credence any more than I expected.
It's just
Dunn
some guy with unsighted sources.
Yeah.
I've
got unsighted sources.
It was the same conjecture as rumors
always
are. But, like, this will be his second manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Naren was there when he came in, but he set himself so firmly in Naren's camp that it was like his manager. It was like
That's
he
true.
Chose him.
They were
so
really
I can't imagine
buddy,
the
buddy, man.
General manager would get more than a couple chances of managerial choices before.
Well, I hope that he grows back the mustache.
I think what he's missing.
That could,
well,
that
they had
might
the giveaway
help.
On Friday.
And well, that was
the
definitely
Mr. Redlegs mustache.
In the right direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which
we got
despite not being there.
Copy of. Thank you again. Mr. Storm. When the ownership change came in and the general manager change came in, I think that it felt so much like you expected the other shoe to drop. You really expected the manager to be replaced at that point, too.
Right.
And there was, it really seemed like the only reason that it wasn't happening was because Pinella wasn't available right then.
Right.
And, but then when the extension happened, it was so unnatural. It seemed like such a strange direction for the team to take. And I don't know how much of that Krivsky had to do with. And I don't know if he would make a similarly unnatural choice, with the next manager that he were to choose. And I don't know how much he had to say on this interim guy, you know. But I'm with you. I really hope that they do a bona fide search and really find someone who's actually good and not just good enough. Maybe actually see some winning baseball in Cincinnati sometime. In my lifetime.
Maybe. You know, that seems...
In my lifetime, I say as if I'm really old. I just feel
that's
like
okay.
it.
That's okay.
I just feel like it after a day at the emergency room.
You're not a Cubs fan, so it's actually feasible.
Poor Cubs fans. You know, there are Cubs fans. Like, really, really passionate Cubs fans.
Oh, look, they're back above 500.
Who have, were born and died in the century, you know, mark of course. I mean, that's 100 years. There aren't too many people who live that long.
No. Yeah, that would be a little depressing.
Yeah.
It'd take a special person to be a Cubs fan.
You know, if the Cubs ever do win, some of their fans may die.
Some of them just holding on long enough.
Well,
one more.
It would be so much that they would be holding on so much as they would be like so shocked or so pleased or so overwhelmed that they would would just keel over. Remember in high school high school basketball team. It was a couple years after we graduated. Went to the state finals. They won the state finals, but it was in the last year before they divided it into divisions.
Yeah, before
so, previously,
the size of the schools was taken into account.
People think that Hoosier hysteria has to do with college basketball, but it doesn't. It has to do with high school basketball. It's all about the high school basketball. And there was the tradition was that all basketball teams, no matter what the size of the school was, were in one big division, one
yeah,
big
that's
tournament.
That's what the big thing was about the Hoosiers movie, this tiny little town.
Exactly.
With less than 100 students in their high school won everything.
So it's like sort of unfair, but then on the other hand, when the little teams do come through with it, it's all the bigger an accomplishment. And the very last year before they changed that system so that it had divisions, and so there was a big school champion and a middle-sized school champion and a little school champion, our high school won the whole thing. And a math teacher watched the game. Died of heart attack right there watching it on television.
Which sucks.
Which it does suck, but on the other hand, it's like, you know, maybe it doesn't suck. I mean, that's the last thing you see.
Yeah.
Maybe you've got to pick a time to go, and I could totally see there being a lot of Cubs fans that way. Not a lot, but, you know, some really old handful of really old ones. We had a check-in with the rest of the division. What's going on everywhere else?
I haven't had enough time to like look at the Reds, let alone the standings. The order is still the same. Oh well, Pittsburgh and Houston are tied now, fourth.
Look, we saw these flags, the flags hanging up at Great American Ballpark. It is so very, very unnatural to see Pittsburgh not at the bottom.
It's also weird to see Milwaukee and Chicago on top.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And to see the Cardinals up there is very strange.
It's not so weird to see Houston in the middle. That's where they always are at this time of year.
Kind of bounce around. But Big old second half team.
We'll see. Yeah. Coming up next for the Reds is the Giants series.
That's right.
So maybe Barry Bonds will go on a home run tear. I think he's sitting at like 750 or 751. He needs like four or five more.
I hope the security is like really tight at Great American, because I could totally see someone doing something really rash.
Ohio is a concealed carry state.
Is it? Well, I don't think that it's the law-abiding, concealed-carrying folks that would be the crazy ones.
No, it really isn't.
I can imagine it being some sort of like, well, you know, there's that lunatic who ran out on the field wanting to shake his hand.
Yeah.
What if there was some lunatic who's like, it's not right for you to be breaking the record? And, you know, go out and you'd be really, from what we've seen, you know, we couldn't get our freaking sunblock through the door.
That was an aerosol
can.
You know.
Whatever. But, you know, it would be pretty easy to hide a weapon under your shirt. I mean, it's not like you walk through metal detectors or anything like that.
Well, maybe they are beefing up security for these games.
I hope so. I hope so, because that would be pretty tragic and a pretty horrible thing to be watching on the highlight reels.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's hope that doesn't happen.
I don't have any specific reason to think so, but it just seems like, you know, the fervor gets higher and higher about it. So many people are so outraged about it that they take baseball way too seriously. It's a sport. It's just a game, but
it's a job for them.
It is a job, and it is it's a big game. It's a big game that plays a big role in a lot of people's lives too. So, you know, you can sort of see how you'd get all swept up in the fervor, but, you know, not the crazy kind.
No.
Stay sane out there, people. So we're looking forward to the Giants series, and it'll be nice to see some games with the Giants that you don't have to stay up until 2 a.m.
And Rich Aurelia will be back in town.
That's right. How's Richie doing?
Not good.
Not so good, huh?
No.
I had drop him a line or something. I should have done that last week. What was I thinking?
You're such a slacker.
I tell you what.
No planning.
You'd think that, I know. It's true. We haven't had a guest on the podcast in how long?
I know, it's been lacking.
It's true. Because I just haven't gotten around to scheduling him.
Well, we had the scratchers for the last two.
That's
so
true.
That was.
We need to get somebody we need a crack interview scheduling staff. It's worked out so well with some of our other things that we've done. Okay, have we rambled on long enough?
Yes.
Should we go to bed?
Yes.
All right, so we're looking forward to, tomorrow is the first day of the rest of the Red season.
That's right.
And everything changes. Everything changes tomorrow.
Everybody's in first place.
Well.
Not so much,
but yeah.
It's a whole new ball game.
No.
Oh.
But I appreciate
there's a slight reason for optimism.
Well. I don't know that I'd go so far as
there's optimism. A different guy to make fun of for his stupid mistakes.
There you go. Very nice. Different guy. So we will definitely be looking forward to that. Until then, you hang in there and go Reds!
Show your love for the show by leaving a comment at iTunes or voting for us at Podcast Alley. Or leave your own rant about the dysfunctional Reds and the Red Hot Diaries at our website at red-hot-mama.com. And you can always drop us a line at rhm@red-hot-mama.com.